Okay.
Ready when you are.
Anybody have any dreams you want to work with?
No, I don't have any, no. Sorry, don't.
Okay. Now, I'm unprepared for tonight, so you guys got to carry the load here, okay? Okay. Unfortunately, it is frequently declared that if you understand things and events in life, they are just as they are. And if you do not understand matters, they're still just as they are. And you wholeheartedly accept this and believe it. And base yourself in life and everything you think and do on this single idea that things, no matter what, just are as they are. So let's look closely and carefully at your, let's call it, most insidious belief that has enticed you and entrapped you. But realize things are not the way they are. Well, I shouldn't say they are not the way they are. They are not only the way they are. Actually, all things are the way they are, but they are also random without intention, which means you can make all things be as you desire them to be, but you didn't realize that. So the question is, have you made your life impossible by ignoring this fact? What have we got all the noise here from somebody? Okay, I guess the noise is gone for a while. Are we still anybody out there?
Sure are.
Yep.
Okay. Then realize that though what you do may be intentional, the effects, reactions, and after actions of your intentional actions are random to another. Also, though an individual's actions to you are intentional for that person, they are random for you, and random in the universe for you to particularize and personalize as you desire. Therefore, if you judge another person's actions, you are actually judging your own particularizations. There's a mouthful. Does anybody want to discuss what the hell I've said? And how it might affect your life?
That last part particularly can be a little bit embarrassing.
But it's not embarrassing. The question is, let me start over again, somewhat. Every belief you've ever heard of, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, philosophy, religion, teaching, any saying, anything, government, politics, is all about what you should do to get along, or how we can have all get along and have a society that functions. Confucianism. That's what Confucius was all about. Everything you've ever read, except Forever Living. What, if anything, or in any way, do you think Forever Living is in any way different? What does it seem to be that I am doing, if at all? Remember, you guys, you got to carry some load here because I was really busy.
Yeah, no problem. So I guess to me it seems that what you're doing, or have been doing for a long time, is showing us that essentially we don't have to conform to or adopt the way the universe is or things are, people are. You're showing us how to make the life we want the way we want it.
No, I'm not. Because okay. Whether I'm showing you how to get along or showing you how create the self and life you truly desire, that's all the same thing. And I ain't doing that. So
you're
what?
You're not showing us how to create the life we truly desire.
No, I'm not.
Why is that news to me? Okay, I didn't know that. All right.
I've told you a zillion times I wasn't doing that. So what then might it be that I'm
doing? Right, you're showing us how to recognize when we're not living as we truly desire.
Well, I'm not doing that either.
Okay, somebody else got one, please.
Anybody else like to have a wild ass guess? What
I'm afraid I do the same as Andrew, that there is nothing laid down that's a should or supposed to or anything else. We can live exactly as we desire.
How?
By imaging.
I mean, hell, if I could wrap this around to saying, okay, I have only one thing to say. You can live the self and life you truly desire. Is that it?
Well, as you suggest, that there is an immediate how that comes in. If I ever suggested that to somebody, they would say, okay, smart ass, how do I do that?
Yeah, but that's the point, that Buddhism, everything is aimed at telling you how you should do that or how you can.
Your entry is not valid.
What's not valid?
You're gone.
What?
You're gone.
Or
breaking up.
Can you hear us?
Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I can hear you guys, but it was breaking up.
Well, I don't know what was going on. Something's not valid. What did it say wasn't valid? You didn't hear it.
Your entry.
No.
Your entry.
What?
It said your entry is not valid.
I guess we're valid now. Okay, as long as we're working. Are we working? Are you guys still there?
I would hope so, yep.
Yep.
Okay, well then, please answer the question. What am I doing?
I don't know, Rod. You're talking to us about the universe. That seems a little too broad. It doesn't tell you anything either.
Well, you're telling us what you've come to know about how the universe works and how we can turn that to our own advantage and live the lives we truly desire.
What I said from you from the very beginning was, I'm trying to give you tools that are self-evident in the universe that you can apply, that you didn't know, or what the universe is doing or what the universe is offering in the way of things that are different than what you think your language is all about. So all I'm trying to do is to provide you with some kind of tools or awarenesses, in the sense of tools, that you have available to you to do with however you want. And I don't really care how you use that. I think I said 17 years ago that Forever Living will give you, if you want to be an asshole, Forever Living will give you the tools to be the biggest asshole that ever existed. And what?
And proud of it.
Yeah, whatever. See, I'm not telling you what to do, or even how to do anything. I'm just merely saying, these are the tools and they function in this certain way. What or how you use those tools, those, what I'm going to call them, they're offerings of the universe, or as I've said before, they're dynamic processes of the universe, or as I have said, they're the treasures of the universe, that have been hidden and covered over by language and concealed from the get-go. And then the question is, if we can unconceal those things and reveal them, then you can live those things life to live any way you truly desire. So there isn't a matter of should or shouldn'ts. That's not even an issue. The matter is, here is a tool that functions in this way. Do you want to use it? Yes or no? You okay with that?
Yes, yes I am.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, I think I clarified that 17 years ago, and I'm bringing it up again because that's what the gathering is all about. The fact is, I'm writing a whole new book on that issue alone. What are these tools? And I'm writing the book like it's called the Book of Treasures. Treasures of the universe, of the offerings of the universe. What are these treasures? And I'm writing the book, let's say, in the form of an I Ching, so that you take the Book of Changes and you say, well, okay, I got a problem here, and I've got to ask the I Ching about this problem and get answers. Well, the Book of Changes is going to really tell you something about this is what's going on in the universe. You better either wait or until the situation changes, or get on with waiting till the pot boils over the fire, or whatever the case may be. What the I Ching, the Book of Treasures, is all about is that if you have a problem, apply this aspect of the universe in your life today. How about them apples? Relative to the problem or difficulty or question that you have. Does this make sense?
Immediately no, because I seem to have developed the impression that you've not wanted us to be looking at solving problems in our lives. So I'm a little bit I'm interested in see how addressing going in through the window of a problem it can work without trapping myself somehow.
No, I'm merely saying that if you are questioning the Book of Treasures, the presumption is you have a problem. It doesn't mean that you do this to go solve the problem, but apply this tool in your life doesn't mean that that tool solves the problem, but it gives you a greater perspective of yourself, or it may mean that not using that tool in your life is the struggle or the problem itself.
Are we going to address this in any detail at the gathering?
Yeah.
Okay.
But only to a limited point, because I'll discuss it, and then how much in detail we discuss it. I've got so much stuff for the gathering that y'all have to hang over for a double gathering. Well, the question is, and the reason I brought that up is, we talk about random. How do you apply that in your life? What does it mean, if anything, in your life? Are you willing to accept that every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, every desire and experience in your life is random? Are you willing to accept that your inspiration is random? That everything you do essentially in life is random?
Random to me or to the world around me?
I'm willing to bet that it is even worse than random to you. It is accidental.
That's an interesting notion. Then that even if I'm intentional.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. Let's assume you are intentional. How can you be constantly and consistently intentional?
With extreme willpower.
What does it matter? You can say, I intended to do that. What did you intend to do? How do you know what you intended to do?
Well, that's beginning to occur to me here that if I'm, even in the term and sense that I'm using intentional, I'm pretty sure I mean I'm going to attempt to cause something.
Oh, well now, what you're trying to do is use an intention or an attempt to cause your intention.
That's starting to become available to my awareness.
You're doing something weird, hope to cause the intention that you intended.
Exactly. God, you're good at this.
Foolishness.
That's really neat.
This is sanity.
But it's neat to begin to understand that's what's been going on.
That's right. And that's as accidental, or it's even worse than random. It is purely accidental.
It's really stabbing in the dark all over the place.
That's right. It's trial and error. Hoping by gosh.
I think it's mostly error, not trial.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Then if we say, what I'm saying here is I'm trying to get a hold on what random may mean. What if the events in the universe are random? What does that mean to you?
Well, it's a tool available to me to then form the events or the activity or the action for me the way I want it to be.
Let's assume that that's the case. What if I say to you, you have always done that, even when everything went to hell, that's exactly what you did.
I think that's absolutely true, and I didn't, for the longest time, up until about 36 hours ago, even understand that was going on.
Okay. Then,
because everybody's actions were intentional, goddammit.
And what we can say is that even if you intend to, help another or hurt another person, your intention ends at the action.
I can see that now as you're speaking. That's absolutely correct.
Because otherwise what you're trying to do is to carry it all the way through to an intended result.
In some kind of weird cause and effect chain is what I have previous. That's what I've been doing, yes.
Yeah. But what I said is, and this is true, that though you may, your action may be intentional, the effects are random, the reactions are random, and the after actions of your intentional actions are random to anyone else. They're even random.
Random as hell.
That's right. So if the after effects are random, how could you ever possibly cause what you intended? I never quite understand what.
I'm beginning to understand that I'm immersed in a sea of randomness.
Okay, but now let's assume that. But if you are immersed in a sea of randomness, what now?
Well, then it would be, I'm sorry, I don't really have the word you might be looking for here, but it would be being the thing that I was trying to cause right now.
What does that mean? Can't you get rid of cause? Can't you talk to me without using that horrendously bad word, cause?
I have a hard time with it. I mean, in my mind, I think I know what I want to say.
Well,
but
then say what you want to say.
I'm trying to put it together. Be right now. Declare myself as the thing I want to be right now and always live that.
But how do you live that? Because what we're talking about, there's the rub.
I think how you live it, Raj, I think how you live it is just the awareness of that's what you are in anything that you do, in anything that's going on. Your story changes. Your whole context for what's going on has changed, and you're living as the thing you want to be and everything instead of trying to get there. How's that?
I think you're screwed. I don't think you can understand what you just said.
Well, I don't know, listening back I could, but I sure felt like I knew what I was trying to say it. So where is the screwing?
Because it is so, the way you said it is so mushy that you can tell me.
It doesn't sound like you're trying to disagree with what I'm trying to say, but the way I've expressed it screws me over. Is that it?
I think there's some truth in that. And so you don't know how to accomplish what you have said. You say, well, I have an idea here, and I'm trying to express it. Well, you know, if you can't express it, you can't live it.
Yeah, right. I got you on that, yeah.
So I haven't said you were wrong. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that the difficulty in expressing it tells me you can't live it.
I understand. So I have this thing, this image in mind or this sense I'm trying to express, and I can't tell you in succinct term yet what it is.
And you can't tell me that because you have in mind a conclusion, result,
well, yeah.
An intention as a consequence.
Wait, I got to check on that, because what I have in mind is a scenario working in any random moment.
All right, how do you do that? What do you do?
Well, it's like right now. It's kind of like talking to you is either me struggling to get there, to get this right answer, to understand so that then I can have the life I want, or recognizing that I'm already the thing that I truly desire and I'm awarefully living that.
Like, you can't do that.
Somebody,
I'm getting a terrible echo. Somebody, you've got your mute off. Okay, go ahead. You can't do that because you sloughed over realizing that I am that.
Okay, what's the... show me the sloughing part. I don't know...
How are you going to realize that you am that?
How am I going to realize it?
Yeah, because you're going to go out to do something as a consequence that enables you to point to that and say, see, I realize I am that. That's who I am. So
that question slings us back into causal problem.
That's life. I don't disagree with that. That's why I'm bringing all this stuff up. If you can't hold your own in this little conversation, you can't hold your own with life.
Right. I mean, I recognize what you're saying about the problem of proving, and then especially trying to get other people to recognize that.
See?
I don't have a clear picture yet of never having that be a problem in the first place. I sense it, but I don't know how to answer your question.
I know, then you can't do it. Patrick, do you want to jump right in here and save Andrew?
I don't know. Are Patrick and I the only people on the phone tonight? Has anybody else got an idea?
No, we know Susan's there. Susan, you want to jump in? I guess not.
Oh, hi. I'm still
up. That's all right. We're counting the times you didn't speak up, Susan, and for every time you didn't speak up, you're going to get called on during the gathering 3 or 4 times.
That just listening to you makes me braver every time.
You'll have to sit there and hold hands with Percent.
Percent knows her stuff, though.
Nah.
She does. She studies.
She does know. She knows some stuff.
Yeah.
But here is this question. Here is a thing. You say, realize that I am that. Then we have to back up and say, well, then how do you realize you am that? And you're going to say, well, I'll go do something to cause that so that I can realize that that's who I am, and then everything will be okay. By that time, it's too late.
Random, and by declaring that and truly living that way, then I would see it and feel it and be it and everything.
What already. Does that mean? Why do you go to and then I would be, etc.? Why do you go to these conclusions?
Because I'm trying to describe to you the declaration is important first.
But that's all right. Then what do you do? Why must you rush to a consequence when we said, gee, all of that's just random crap?
I don't know, I was just trying to describe the sequence of events.
Well, you haven't told me the sequence of events. You then jumped to a conclusion, but you didn't give me the sequence. If this, thus, then that. Talk to me about the thus.
Can you put me out of your misery and tell me the sequence?
I just did.
You told me the sequence just there?
If this, thus, therefore, then that. That's language consequent. And if you say, if this, then how do you, what do you do?
I don't know.
And the point of it is, listen carefully. Patrick, do you want to jump right in here?
Well, I'm afraid I find myself in the same trap as Andrew. Once I about as far as I get is declaring, and then I'll fall apart.
Let's assume that you declare. Is it possible then that the only way you can live intentionally is to live every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and every desire and experience as you intend, not as you intend that to cause what you intend?
I think I prefer if there's a different word than as you intend, the first one.
What about it?
That. Well, just the way you said it, as I intend, that slides me right back into close to cause. They're better way to express that?
No, it doesn't cause. Cause goes to not as you intend that to cause what you intend.
Alright, I think I got you.
You think you got it?
I think.
add your declaration to that statement or your inspiration, and then talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about conclusions.
So you're saying, like, live everything as, like, a second coming instead of trying to cause myself to become that. Live everything as that I am and that I'm doing.
If that is your inspiration, then would not then it be advisable for you to live every action and thought and belief, etc., as you intend second coming to be?
I guess so.
Is that okay with
Roger?
You? Yes.
Roger, I want to just present something and let me know if I'm going in the right direction. Intend with what, not with what Andrew has said, but with Andrew's always revealing. In that case, it would be a situation where he intends to help someone see how the person is revealing themselves and then show that back to them without having a set conclusion in mind of his intention of where it should go, just leaving it open so that whatever they come up with, as long as it, he can see that it's true to them or representing what they intend, not with something they're trying to get at or to specifically. Is that coming close to what you mean?
No, that right there is the very language complex that puts the screws to you. Because no matter what you've done, all you've done is trace or transfer the intention from you to say, well, I don't care what the other person intends, but your focus is still on intentions.
Then how would you phrase it so instead it being an open-ended instead of closing in a conclusion?
If you leave the intentions open, you've still focused on intentions and just merely said, okay, well, I'll allow whatever happens to happen, but you've in that intended to leave it open.
Then what would be the difference in Andrew's helping to reveal himself and other people? What would be that difference in his causing that versus an open intent?
What does Andrew intend to do? Forget the other person for a moment. What do you think Andrew intends to do? In other words, we're saying is, how can Andrew live intentionally at the level of Andrew? What in that declaration would you say Andrew intends to do?
To reveal.
No, reveal after that, in that regard, is an intended consequence.
Ah,
yep, I caught that one.
The very statement itself puts him at the beginning. He said, if I declare I am the second coming. Then he added all that shit. Let's assume then that Andrew declares what is inspiring to him is that he is the second coming. Now, what does Andrew intend in every belief, thought, etc., etc.?
If inspiring to him.
What?
Is that inspiring? You said inspiring. aspiring to him is that he is the second coming.
I said, what we got to at this point was, what's his inspiration? He said, being the second coming. Then he added a lot of crap words to it after that. Let's cut it down to say, his inspiration is his being the second coming, period, end of discussion.
I would have to know what you don't.
That's the problem. See, you want to take it to some kind of conclusion in order to understand. And in fact, taking it to the conclusion means you can't ever understand anything that Andrew is talking about.
So is it a matter of lack of understanding on someone else's part, or is
your part? You're supposed to answer this question. We gave you a point of reference. Now, how can Andrew live that inspiration? Patrick, she needs help.
So it's from the point of being a second coming.
He said, listen very carefully. Did he not say, recognizing who I am? He made the declaration of being the second coming. What else do you need? If Andrew spoke so wise and eloquently, then certainly you must understand.
No, because I don't understand what that means.
It doesn't matter what it means.
I mean, you can get the detail later. He's just talking about how you live it.
Then tell us, Andrew.
Well, you know, I guess I don't know, the how you live it part, right? That's the part I'm having I can see myself living it, but if you ask me how, I don't want to put it into a... I don't know, anything else you say after that, how you live it.
Yes, but I'm talking about the verb live. I am not talking about the consequences of living it. I don't care about the consequences.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand.
But you keep going to the consequences.
I don't know. It's like trying to describe something that you are in a language.
No, Andrew, stop excusing yourself. Get out of conclusions and talk about what is the next thing you do.
Answer your question.
No, in answering this question, what is the next thing you do?
You know, it's like any action, anything.
Okay, what any action? What anything?
I don't know, go to the grocery store.
Then fine. Then how do you do? What in what way or manner do you go to the grocery store?
I guess I don't know what that question is asking me for. I mean, I go.
You go to the grocery store as the second coming.
Right. I know. I can say, yeah. Fine. Yes. Got that.
Well, then, why can't you understand that? Isn't that what you just said a minute ago? You do everything as the second coming. You say, I realize myself, and then I do everything in that way. And I'm just saying the same thing. But I'm simplifying it so that you say, okay, I go to the store as the second coming. The second coming is going to the store. I go take a leak as the second coming.
That's what I was going to say, right.
Why must you say the second coming shows everybody these things?
I don't have to say that.
You did.
I'll start there.
Say that, you put the screws to yourself.
Does the second coming not do that as... ever?
Didn't say you don't do that, but why do you set that as an action to do?
Only for the scale of every moment, every person, everything.
What?
That's what I was trying to express.
What?
That whoever I'm talking to, whatever I'm doing, that's what I'm being in the doing of that.
Okay, but you then set it up as a way that you must be in order to be the second coming.
Okay, I understand what you're saying there. That's not necessarily what I was thinking, but I understand exactly what you mean.
And that,
For years I thought it that way. Yes, absolutely.
And then the problem is, like a performer who is inspired by performing, what happens when he's not performing? His life sucks. How about an artist who isn't painting? A musician who isn't musicianing? If you set an inspiration in that regard, it must be something that you can be and do at all times with every situation.
Okay, right. Here's my question, though. And sort of the... What if you don't be and do anything? What if you're just sitting?
Can't you sit as the second coming?
I think so, but I thought before... Prior conversations, I thought there was some pushback on unless there was a... some doing...
No, there's always a doing. You cannot not do if you're alive.
Okay, I got you. Then I think I understand that.
Are you okay with any of this, Patrick?
I understand.
Yeah, I'm following.
So
I think what you just put across there is probably the most critical point. Yeah, because I see how my description will easily guide somebody into thinking it's a causal result of the actions.
You see?
Like you said, a performer has to perform, a musician has to play, a talker has to talk.
That's right. Okay. And in most cases, they have to have a result.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
That they have to have the acknowledgement or affirmation or whatever that what they did was healing, helpful, entertaining, inspiring, and etc. And now all we've done is gone down to judge the consequences.
Yep.
Is this okay?
Yeah, years ago, Roger, you used to say that whatever it was we said we were or are, that it had to be something that we could do even if we were sitting in a jail cell.
That's right. You are that in a jail cell or whatever situation you are in. You could be the second coming in jail. If you set an inspiration as something that you can only be and live in a certain way or a certain time, which most people have done, they set the conditions around the inspiration such that when they're not doing that, they're screwed.
And then they start agitating to create the conditions in order to be.
There you go. And you can't get out of that trap. My question would be, if that is inspiring for Andrew, would Andrew be willing to completely devote every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, words, action, desire, and experience to being the second coming?
Yeah, I'm not quite comfortable with the way you said that, but yes.
Why would you not comfortable with that?
Because devote sounds like then forward doing. I was kind of thinking maybe more like something almost reverse of that.
What?
I don't know. Like something to keep me out of causal. Something.
Why? Like no, thing. I didn't. Devote is not causal. If you're going to make a declaration, then in the declaration, that means you have declared that you have devoted yourself to this declaration at all times. This is who and what I am. This is no causal. If this is who you are and you're living that, you're embodying that, then everything you do is an embodiment action of that, let's say, second coming.
That's right. I got you. I know. Yep. Okay.
So if any actions are ever intended to cause a desired result, then you put the screws to yourself.
Right.
Is that okay there, Patrick?
Absolutely.
Could you live 110% for your clients, not intending to cause a result?
That's beginning to occur to me really, really clearly, that this is applicable just like that too.
In other words, that all the client does in that is, you have, let's assume this for the moment, you have a context that is Patrick. Client comes along, and what you do for that client is like the incipit of how you express the context that is you. Is that okay?
Yeah, yes.
And if you have another client, that client is the incipit of how and the way in which you will still express your and live with every belief, thought, etc., your context, your declaration, your inspiration.
Yes. Those are all very powerful synonyms.
So all we've done then is, in that regard, is by maintaining your inspiration or the declaration, the inspiring declaration of who you are, that gives you a focus for everything in your life, that it enables you to live every moment intentionally so relative to that inspiring focus. Is that okay?
That's just marvelous.
But with one client, you can live that in this form. With another client, you can live that in that form. But all you're doing in that is living the original context or inspiration in either this form or that form, or going to the bathroom, or going to the grocery store, or cooking a pork roast.
Well, so really what you're saying is you're never not that form, in fact. That's the awareness.
Okay, let's assume that. Maybe this has been going on all along, but you never knew any of that. All I'm trying to say is, wait, that might be true. Is it possible then from everything that you have already been doing, that you have in fact established an inspiration that you have been living under cover of language all along?
Yeah, right. Well, I'd say through the struggle of language, thinking that somehow I was not that. But
that's
everything,
right.
I've been doing is still, everything, every struggle and every joy has still been relative to that.
That's right. And you didn't realize that. So the question then is, well, can we bring you to some realization such that instead of doing these things by guess and by gosh, you can say, hey, I know me. Come on, me, let's go.
Right. You know, actually, one of the better recognitions of that that I think I had probably in all my time with you came about, sometime in the last, 6 to 8 months, where you said something to the effect of, like, all the struggles that I had lived only demonstrated that that's what I already was. My struggle to try and be that was me trying to live that, or me living that in that form.
But that's why I said centuries ago, every problem and difficulty in your life reveals your finest asset. Your finest asset in your life is your inspiration.
Yeah, that's just, you know, we think we're struggling because we're struggling, and maybe we're struggling because we're just trying to realize the inspiration that we are already.
That's right.
You don't agree with that? Oh, okay. You don't agree with that, that's fine.
Okay. Now, what is all this random crap we talk about? Well, we've talked about earth time and mind time. So hang in there a minute. Are you willing to say that an event occurs in earth time all around you? That by the time you realize in your mind that event, a lot of time has passed.
Can you, Roger, can you start again? There was some kind of click or glitch and I lost a word or two.
Let's assume that an event occurs in Earth time.
Okay.
And by the time you are aware of that event, because you sense it and then that sends it up to mind and now you say, oh yeah, I'm aware of that. By the time you are aware of that in your mind, the event is long gone. Is that
right?
Is that okay?
That, I appreciate that, yes. That doesn't.
Even if it's lickety split, it's still long gone. Okay?
Well, I'm not sure I understand then when you say even if it's lickety split, it's still long gone.
Because.
Does that mean.
What?
Is that, or is this relative time, or is that just simply that it's over?
I don't understand the question.
Well, if it's long gone, one context of that may be, hey, it's gone, it's over, it is over. Or is that just, lickety-flick means it's relative to, and long gone means just across two measures of time.
Can't lickety-split... Can't lickety-split be long gone? If in 1 minute of Earth time, it would be possible for a civilization to form, rise, flower, and fade away, then don't you think lickety-split would mean, boy, it's really gone.
Then I can see that context, I can see long gone, yes.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. In that context, then, long gone means long gone. If it's only a millisecond, it's long gone.
Okay.
In other words, if I ask you, what's 14 billion years, light years away, how far away is that? You don't know. Well, lickety split, what the hell is lickety split? It's long gone. Is that okay?
Yep, got that.
Okay. In that long gone period of time, what you have done is sense the event, disassemble the event, put it into memory, then called it out of memory, reassemble the parts and pieces to particularize that event and personalize it as you truly desire, such that the event that you are living is not the event that occurred. Is that okay?
I got it. Yep, got it.
Yep, I'm fine with that too.
Was the original event random?
Yes.
How was it random?
It was totally and completely unintentional.
Let's assume that's the case. How else was it in random?
It was such, it was of a nature that I could personalize it any way I wanted to. And so could anyone else.
How? What? What's going on?
I'm not quite sure I know how to answer that.
Then you can't tell me so that you can personalize it and particularize it as you want. If you can't tell me what's going on, you can't do that.
Okay. I guess you're right. I can't tell you what's going on. I guess I took random as just being sort of the state or the nature of it.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Patrick, you want to deal with that?
So I'm confused at the moment about how there's an additional description of random besides the events and the elements of the event or whatever are totally non-intentional.
Okay, unless you want to say it's so plenary that it can be as it is and as Pat is and as I is and anything else is.
Well, let's deal with his random first.
Oh,
if it is intentional, Patrick, then you as being part of the universe are forced to live the intentionality of that event. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, and I thought that's a further definition of non-intentional than you're saying.
That's just looking at it. It's still unintentional, because were it to be intentional, it's like saying to you, if the universe had a purpose, you're screwed, because you live in the universe and therefore you would have to live the meaning and purpose of the universe, and you could not then live necessarily the meaning and purpose that you desire. If an event in the universe or in the world is intentional, then you could not live as you intended to live, being part of that world or universe. You would have to live the intentional of that event.
Gotcha. Yes.
Got me? So, we're saying, okay, then the event occurs. It's kind of like a picture puzzle. The event occurs as one big put-together picture puzzle. You disassemble it into the pieces in order to store it in mind, and then you bring the pieces back and reassemble them to create an entirely different picture. Is that understandable?
It is.
And so then we would say the first one was random because it gave you merely data and information for you to assemble any way you wanted to. Did it not?
It did, and that's correct.
Okay. Who made it random?
No one. It just is.
No, it's not. Who randomized it? And how was that done?
Good question. I haven't the foggiest idea, unless it's me, because you sure as hell didn't do it.
So you did it, and how did you do it? The act and fact of reassembling the pieces, disassembling and reassembling the pieces as you desire. You not only particularize and personalize, but you randomize the first event.
By blowing it apart?
Yes.
Okay.
If you don't randomize it, then you're stuck with the event as it is.
Ah, that refers back to something you said an hour and 20 minutes ago.
What was that?
About how damaging it is to see the world only as it is.
You see? So the universe remains as it is, like the picture puzzle, and you can live that. Lord help you. Or it is random. You randomize it in that regard and able to assemble it, reassemble it as you desire.
There's something really magical about that, isn't there?
Yes. But you see, without without being aware of what you're doing, you're just taking the original event and saying, well, shit, I guess that's the way it is. I guess we gotta put up with that crap.
Yeah, shit. Life's a fits and there you are.
And that's the nature of your life.
Right.
So you can live intentionally by particularizing and personalizing every event. And in doing as you desire, and in doing that, then you've randomized every event that you have particularized. It wasn't random, but it was a random available.
Wait. I'm sorry. At the beginning of Monday night tonight, I would have said that all events were random was a given I was operating off of. And why do you say now that it's not random?
I said, it's random because you randomize it. By particularizing it for you, you randomize the original event.
I do. I do follow that, yeah.
And if you don't do that, if you don't particularize it for you as you desire it to be, intentionally so, well, wait a minute. That means then you can randomize the event and particularize it as a second coming.
Yep.
I can randomize it by particularizing it as showing you, wait a minute, in showing you in that event what it is you can do, how the universe works.
Is that not an outcome? Is that not an action?
No. I said I can do that in doing that. And in doing that, then what you do with it is of no consequence to me.
Okay.
My focus is on elucidating, like today, elucidating that you can randomize everything in your life so that you can particularize it and personalize it however you want it. I don't care.
Doesn't this go a little bit further than that there really are no events? There's data and information. And I muck around with data and information and create an event?
No, let's not go to Buddhism in that regard. There is data and information that comes as stuff. And then you mind that stuff to create that stuff either as random or as stuff that you have to put up with. What you closely went into is to say what Buddha said, Buddhism says is in a sense that when you're doing all of this stuff, then the matter out there was not matter. No. That event remains the stuff that it was. But you...
So I guess what I'm...
What?
Here, I'm trying to find a way to close the circle here of my own understanding that we... Like Andrew said a few minutes ago, that I would have taken all events in the universe to be random. You appear to be saying that they're not until I've become aware of them and then I randomize them.
No, what I said was they're random available.
What's the difference?
You can randomize them or not.
Wait, how can can I not randomize them? That's what I'm puzzling on. How can they not be random?
Because you can disassemble them and reassemble them only as they were. You can.
Hey, I got a question for you now. How could I do that? Because can I even see them as they were?
Well, the best example I can give you is a picture puzzle. You can put it back together just as it was, or you can put everything back as you desire it to be.
All right. I think I follow what you're saying. All right.
Are you following this, Patrick?
No, I'm not entirely sure why it's important to get into that somehow or other the event to begin with wasn't random.
It was random available.
Well, there's all kinds. Then I go to the random available. I bet you anything that there are 6 million more events going on in my life on any given day that I don't even pay attention to.
And the likelihood is that you reassemble and particularize those as you desire, even though you're not paying attention to that. What is your attention got to do with this?
Well, it's the I guess I'm thinking about it a bit more now that I'm driving my car down the road, and there are scores or even hundreds of cars I'll encounter doing various things as they said about what their driver is doing. I guess that I am knitting them, I'm randomizing each of the events, knitting them together as I see fit, meaning, say, in some circumstances that I don't have to pay any more attention to that particular car because I've just put it together as okay.
Okay, let's assume that's the case. Let's assume that you put every event together as good, bad, or indifferent.
I think I can see that, yeah.
And you choose to put it together as good, bad, or indifferent.
I can see that too, yeah.
Now, supposing you had an awareness of the inspiration that you are, and you put everything together only as the inspiration that you are.
According to that guiding principle of me.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha.
So, if you want to say, yeah, it's always random, I say, well, it's always random available. But yeah, and you may be randomizing it all the time, but up to now, you may be putting that into survival or good, bad, or right, wrong, and trying to get by in life. But if you had an inspiration that you are and are living constantly, which you do, but you don't know that you do, then you would personalize and particularize all events relative to that inspiration, would you not? Well,
yes.
Could you not?
Yes.
Then you would be embodying and personifying that inspiration at all times, would you not?
Yes.
And
that is.
And we could say for a moment that if you're embodying that inspiration, that would be an inspiration available for everyone. You wouldn't have to do anything inspiring.
Yeah. there we are, and we've absolutely and completely avoided any kind of consideration of consequences.
That's right. You wouldn't have to do anything, but you could do anything, and the consequences are of no consequence in that.
Yeah, it's amazing how simple it can seem.
Life is really simple. Language and the structure of language has distorted everything. Okay, so what we're assuming here is the universe, every event in the universe is random. Yeah, well, it's random available is more. It's just, as you get into it a little further, but you, if you don't then randomize it, if you don't, or if you randomize it only relative to good, bad, and indifferent, in that regard, then you're stuck with how you've either randomized it or put up with what it is. We okay?
Yeah.
And up to now, you're almost always randomizing it as to desirable or undesirable, good or bad, right or wrong, survival or non-survival.
Yep. Yes.
What do you suppose would happen? No, let me back off here. If you we're only going to talk about you, Patrick. If you randomized everything in your life as desirable or undesirable, what do you think the events in your life would be?
They would be either desirable or undesirable.
Okay, that would be the only nature of your life.
Correct.
You've made the events desirable or undesirable. You have not made the events and then created the events as desirable or undesirable. Are we saying that?
No, I think it's the reverse.
What?
Well, I you said I make the events desirable or undesirable, not that I disassembled, reassembled, and either reassembled them as desirable or undesirable.
No, I'm saying if you constantly did that, if you constantly the event is random, and now you constantly reassemble them as either desirable or undesirable. We said you've been doing that for 6 years now, let's say, huh?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
And then I said, then what are the events? And you said the events then are themselves desirable or undesirable.
That's the way I have seen it.
What if that in fact is true? Not how you saw it, but what if the events themselves then are, after a while, desirable or undesirable, regardless of how you see it?
Well, are you suggesting that I will in time pile up so many memories that as the events are occurring, I'll be lickety-split, categorizing them according to my memories?
No, what I am suggesting to you is that after doing that for a while, your intentions in that regard precede the event such that the event itself is desirable or undesirable.
Yeah.
don't think I understand that.
Get out of reacting to the event. Is it possible that then you could say you created the event as desirable or undesirable even before the event occurred? And then you reacted to the event as desirable or undesirable.
So are we talking about setting up in my mind in advance scenarios that I think will be desirable or undesirable, and having done that, when they occur there it is.
I'm even saying before that, before setting up scenarios in your life, could it be that your actions affect the events before the events are effected?
So are we talking about attraction here, that I will attract events, will be consistent with
no you create pattern? The event. Is it possible for you to consider then that in having done this for 60 years that you actually create the events in your life even before the event occurs?
That's new to me, and I don't reject that, but I don't understand it.
Why? You see, what you're doing here is you've got your focus only on your reacting to life. I'm trying to get your focus off of reacting to life. Maybe you're only reacting to yourself.
Based on what we've been talking about today, tonight, I'm not making any connection there.
Go ahead.
That I am creating the events in the advance of the... I am creating the event in advance of the event.
That's right. Let's look at this again. The event that we're talking about here, let's assume for the moment, is operating on Earth time. Could you in mind time then actually be creating the event before it is Earth time created?
From that point of view, of course, I see what you're saying. Yes, I could have created the event 1,000 times before it's completed on Earth time.
Then, you see how simple that is.
Yeah. I keep on forgetting about the speed of mind time.
That's right. And see, we've never taken that into consideration, hardly at all, yet you begin to understand that if we consider that from the reductionist process we go through, that all the universe is mind, then you could function on mind time to create the Earth time event even before the event occurs in Earth time.
Wow, yes.
Is that okay now?
I'm getting you now, yeah.
Okay. So all I'm suggesting in all of this is that, do you understand that when you slow your mind down to mouth speed, in other words, the speed at which you can think or mouth words or language, that you actually destroy the possibility of your creating the events in your life that you truly desire.
Put that way, I can see what you're talking about, and that your old way of saying that it's 450,000 times faster than speaking time, I think that's not enough. Probably 450 million times faster.
It is. It is that. It's in the same way as it is, like every second, I think you have something like 400 trillion pieces of data and information, something like that, that your mind is dealing with or access to, and you only deal with like 2,000 pieces of data. So it's 2,000 as opposed to something like 4 trillion. So yeah, you begin to, it is by getting your mind, slowing your mind down to mouth speed, that you're destroying your life. That you can image and live by mind speed of images, more at mind speed. Images flashing.
Yeah.
And
holy crow, yes.
Okay, now then what we've done is Buddha and Buddhism is then calling that monkey mind, where all this images just keep flashing and flashing and going through your mind and etc. And I'm saying, hey, and they want to stop that. Don't stop that. Excite that. Follow that. That's mind time speed. Is that okay?
That's fabulous, actually. It's starting to answer some questions I've had about stuff.
Do you want to bring up the questions, or do you just want to go sulk with them?
But that, like, I have had the experience on numerous occasions where an idea about something or other originates, develops, follows through, blossoms, or craters, or whatever, through all kinds of permutations and combinations, and it's barely a heartbeat.
That's right.
And that evaluation of a thought is complete.
That's because your mind can work at mind time speed if you don't slow it down.
Wow. Yes.
Okay, well, I guess while we're ahead, we might as well quit right there.
You did such a good job tonight not being prepared. Holy crow.
Well, I ought to be not prepared some other time.
That was delightful. Thank you.
Okay, well, there we are. Thanks. Bye now.